You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's the first ever Under-19 Women's World Cup for the girls. Can Sri Lanka win it? I'm Mark Charlie from the Murali End, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Varzi-Devon from the Papere. We are Sri Lanka on 99.94. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for following. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and tell your friends about it. We talk about Sri Lankan cricket several times a week. And yes, we do know that Sri Lanka are in India to play the ODI series. We have turned our attention away slightly, very briefly, to preview the Under-19 World Cup that's going to take place in South Africa. It's the first time the women have had an Under-19s World Cup. It's been an integral part of developing men for the, or boys into men for the senior, for the men's side. And I suspect this could be something, if used right, could work in SLC's favour to develop girls to go on and play full senior cricket as well. Estelle, are you excited about the prospect of it?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I don't know how far Sri Lanka will go during this tournament, but like you said, I think it could potentially be a massive turning point in Sri Lanka cricket, in that when you know you have a World Cup, right, coming up, I think a lot of schools will get into leather ball cricket, because a lot of girls will obviously want to play, right, at that level. So I think it could be really a big step in the right direction for Sri Lanka. And of course, if you get your age group cricket going, schools cricket going, that will definitely make an impact on the international stage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Under-19s squad's been out there for a little while. They've been in South Africa. They've had a couple of warm-up games, I think, against the UAE and Scotland. They won them both. Firstly, the first I've got to mention is I find it really difficult online, and I generally know the places to go to find these kind of things, to find any footage of it, and maybe that's because they're warm-up games. And secondly, to even find scorecards that are up to date, I think actually I ended up at one point, Cricket Scotland, actually tweeted the scorebook, yeah. And I was looking at that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Why is it so difficult to find? Am I just looking in the wrong places, Estelle?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
No, it's been really disappointing, actually, because it's the first T20 World Cup, and I understand resources maybe an issue, right? But I'm covering the games for the papere.com. I have to write the match reports, etc. So the first game on the 9th, waited up for some kind of updates to come through ICC. Nothing happened, right? I think they updated the scorecards overnight and it was available the next day. The game day before, where Sri Lanka played Scotland, like you said, the only updates at this point, to be honest, I'm not expecting Sri Lanka cricket to send updates, okay? The only place I saw updates was Cricket Scotland, and they were able to put up a couple of, you know, just, I think, a few they put during the game. And then, thankfully, they had tweeted out the score sheets, as you mentioned, because in the morning, the ICC didn't have the updated scorecards, right? So, I mean, as it is, it's incredibly difficult to kind of make, garner any kind of real knowledge on what's going on through the scorecards. But if that is also not available, it's just nearly impossible to know what's happening. Because, you have to kind of scrape together as whatever you can to put whatever information you can out there, because it's just not available anywhere, right? I mean, if not for Scotland, Scotland cricket tweeting, we wouldn't have even known that Sri Lanka won the game last night. because the ICC, you know, warm-up match scorecard is blank. It just has the result there. So, yeah, I think, I mean, it's very disappointing.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, like, what should our reaction be? Should our reaction be, it's actually great that this tournament's taking place and that Sri Lanka have got a team going out there and that SLC have put some resource behind it to go out there? Or should we be disappointed that SLC haven't, you know, sent a press person or someone with them to put out a few tweets and a few posts on social media or aren't updating the website? Or and also, I think this, you know, this goes beyond SLC as well, right? ESPN Quick Info cover some really obscure cricket. They don't have it mentioned anywhere. There's a lot of other sites that cover a lot of obscure games that don't have it mentioned. Again, I do think for, you know, someone who, you know, me and you both work in media, I think it is pretty tough to cover a game that's, as far as I can see, I don't think there was a camera at the ground. The ground seemed to be played at a school ground. I know South African school cricket is, you know, it's on, in terms of how important it is culturally, it's on par with Sri Lanka. So, you know, I'm not in any way, you know, saying the ground's not good enough. I don't, my county, Middlesex, play a lot of cricket at a school ground as well, right? So I'm not slating the ground, but it doesn't appear to be that there was any cameras there, right? Which I think just makes it really difficult to cover. And you'd think that for, you know, two international sides playing each other, there should be a little bit more interest. I mean, like, me and you are paid professionals who cover cricket, and we're interested in this game. It's a massive part of telling the story of Sri Lankan cricket at this moment in time. So you think they would be more interested in it, right? But as I said, it's good that it's even happening. So should we be angry, or should we, you know, should we be upset, or should we go, you know, what, next time the host of the tournament, or next time the tournament's put on in a couple of years' time, I'm sure these things will be in place?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. First of all, Sri Lanka cricket does not send a media person, even with their senior men's team. So
I'm not expecting that. Yeah.
Which is odd. Yes, agreed. It is unlike, I'm not sure, they may be one of the only teams who go to a World Cup without like a, you know, media manager with them. So I'm not expecting that to happen with the under-19 right? girls. Yeah.
I suspect Sri Lanka cricket are the biggest professional sports organization not to send media people with them, right? Even when quite small football clubs go and play fixtures, they send a press person with them. In Europe, it's really weird, and obviously, you know, things were different in different parts of the world, but it's really weird Sri Lanka don't have a press person with them. But there you go.
So basically all information is routed through the team manager. So like I said, not expecting that to happen with the under-19 team. I mean, that's just setting myself up for disappointment, right? But in terms of the ICC, I feel like, you know, the scores are being done physically, right? Maybe that should have been a system where at least a photograph of the scorecards or score sheets are uploaded somewhere. And, you know, something like that is done. I know it's the warm-ups, and it better not be the case for the tournament proper. But maybe something like that could have been thought of. But I will also kind of give them, maybe I'm being too lenient, but, like, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, because it's the very first time this is happening. And I'm not sure what kind of resources are available in South Africa right now. But hopefully it is better the next time it happens, because, like you said, there is interest, right? And particularly, I think age group cricket is something that you do see, like, a lot of people really interested in, because they want to see these are the players who are going to play for Sri Lanka someday, right? So hopefully it gets better, and during the tournament we will see much better kind of communication from South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you expecting the Sri Lanka's games to be telecast in Sri Lanka? Will people be able to watch them there? Or have I put you on the spot unfairly and asked you this question?
That's another, yeah, That's another, I don't know. That's a question that, I don't know, because I told you before the recording, I Googled who's broadcasting it. It says Star Sports. So if it's on Star Sports, I think it's unlikely that Sri Lanka games will be telecast, particularly if they're going on at the same time as India's game. So I don't think it's on FTA channel in Sri Lanka. So yeah, might the first round might be tough. Hopefully ICC will have some streams up that we can at least access via their website. But yeah.
I'm a big fan of ICC.tv. There's loads of cricket on there all the time. And occasionally, sometimes I pay £2 to watch a whole series. I think Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, I could pay £2 to watch the whole thing, which, you know, was nice. And it's much better than, if you get it, it's much better than having to hack through different streams and stuff like that. And try and find not legit way to watch it. Anyway, should we take a break and let's actually get into it and talk about the players after that?
I'm Jared Kimber and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, I look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
Yes, we do speak cricket as always. I'm going to let you know that if you haven't followed the 99.94 social media accounts on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, then you definitely should. You follow it on LinkedIn as well. I'm not sure I have yet, but I will. My mum's a big fan of LinkedIn and she always keeps telling me I need to get more active on it because I'm going to get better jobs. But what could be better than having to talk to Estelle and your good self about Sri Lanka several times a week? I don't think there's a better job in the world. Estelle, let's get into the under-19 squad. Who are the ones to watch out for? Who are the players that excite you? How Sri Lanka, is there any new stars from the Sri Lanka side going to emerge?
Yeah, I'm going to preface this by saying that I haven't seen anyone other than Vishmi Gunaratne in action, actually, in person. So I'm just going off the numbers we've seen in the last couple of series. Sri Lanka played a quadrangular in November again in India, where they faced India A and India B, which were two tough teams, and of course the warm-up. So going by that, it looks like Vidushika Pereira, left-arm orthodox, and Deomi Vihanga might be the two to watch out for in terms of spin bowling options. And another one, I think, is an all-rounder, Manudhi Nanayakkara. Did well against India in India, so that's always a good kind of sign of a good player. And of course, the key player I think everybody is going to have their eye out for is Rashmi. Why am I forgetting her name? Vishmi Gunaratne.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just got back home after work, so my brain is, anyway, Vishmi Gunaratne is the one everyone's going to be watching, right? So she'll probably be a key for Sri Lanka, but I'm excited to see how some of the others in the top order perform as well, because Vishmi won't be opening, she'll be batting at number 3. So there are some opportunities for a few players, maybe because all the attention is on Vishmi, they can kind of fly under the radar.
Vishmi is the captain as well, right? And she's, as you mentioned, she's played full senior cricket for the full senior women's side. That's not unusual in this tournament, though, right? Shefali Verma, I was shocked to discover, is still only 18, and she'll be captain in the India side. And I think there's a couple of the girls in the Australia squad as well have at least been around that Australia, the kind of senior setup as well, right? How?
Yeah, I think although you say Shefali, I think the bigger threat is going to be Risha Ghosh. She's had like a fantastic 3 to 6 months, got a lot of runs in the recent past, really attacking better. So she's going to be, I think, more than Shefali, she might be the bigger threat there. And you're right, it's so hard to imagine that these two are still below the age of 19. I'm not saying anything, it's just because they're so good and they've done so well at the senior level. But yeah, I think even UAE has a couple who they tried out during during the Asia Cup as well. Their opener has played something like 30-odd T20s for the UAE. So few experienced players coming in. It'll be interesting to see how well they do, actually, because you'd expect them to kind of dominate. But, I mean, Vishmi didn't really do that well in the quadrangular series in India. So, you know, it might go south for some of them as well.
Sri Lanka are in their group. I think the tournament's structured with four groups of 16 and the Moosa Super Sixes, and then we get a semis and a final, right? Sri Lanka in their group to begin with have Bangladesh, the USA, and Australia. I think really important to talk about women's cricket in through the lens of a Sri Lanka fan. You know, through someone from Sri Lanka, we've got to understand that actually we haven't had the investment and in the game, in the women's side of the game, and we haven't had the structure put in the women's side of the game that we have in the men's side of the game. And therefore, actually, teams that we'd perceive as being cricketing minnows are potentially further down the line in the development of their game, where their players are at, than where ours are at. So with that, should we still be expecting that we will beat the USA and Bangladesh?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the big thing here is none of the teams are really like, we haven't seen much of any of them, right? So it's very difficult to kind of make a judgment on how well they're going to do or how good they're going to be. Obviously, when you think about countries like England, India, Australia, you know they have a good setup in, right? They're coming in. These players probably have played a lot of age group cricket growing up, not just under 19, but at the under 15, under 17 levels as well. They do get, you know, a lot more domestic cricket in their country. So obviously with the setup, you would expect teams like that to do well. But, you know, Bangladesh, I was just, you know, I was writing a preview on the Sri Lankan team earlier today and just looking through Bangladesh's results, right? They've won both their warm-ups. They've beaten India in one of the warm-ups. I know warm-ups aren't usually not something to kind of go by, but in a tournament like this, where nobody has really faced the other teams frequently or, you know, at any kind of high level, even a win in a warm-up, I think, would give a lot of confidence to the players, because you come in... I'm just thinking from, you know, Bangladesh's perspective. They come into a game against India. They are the underdogs, right? Whether they have seen that team before or whether we've never had a World Cup before or whatever, they are always the underdogs. But to beat them then would give them so much confidence. So I think USA, Sri Lanka should expect to beat. I think Bangladesh is potentially the one that they can slip up against. Australia is going to be tough. Just, you know, going by how good the senior team is, you expect them to be, you know, at a decent level as well. So the good thing is Sri Lanka can lose two and still go through to the Super Six round. But they would want to go in as either A1 or A2. So win two games or, you know, anything can happen, beat Australia and go in as A1.
We should also say that our kind of catchphrase, if you just discovered Sri Lanka 99.94, our catchphrase, particularly when Sri Lanka are in a tournament, seems to be anything can happen, get through anything can happen. Obviously, that was got us to an Asia Cup final with the women last year. An Asia Cup win with the men last year made us fall at the first respectable medal at the actual T20 World Cup last year. But I always think that there is a bit of fight in Sri Lankan cricket teams. And because I always like Roshan, who's a big Bangla, you know, he does the Bangla cricket pod. I used to work with him and I'm mates with him on being on this podcast almost every year because Sri Lanka always play Bangladesh. And the thing I always get is that actually Bangladesh probably have better structures in place to create cricketers and they've got better pathways in place. But for whatever reason, they just seem to turn up at major tournaments and it never works out for them, where Sri Lanka seems to be just a consistent amount of chaos. But we turn up at major tournaments and we can kind of get a job done and be respectable, right? And I just wonder if...
Yeah, and I mean, just looking at the Bangladesh women's... Yeah, just, I mean, the same point you were making, just looking at the Bangladesh women's team, like the senior level, I remember that not this Asia Cup, the previous one, they beat India twice, right? And India's like never lost a game in the Asia Cup, never lost a final, whatever, right? They beat them twice, but they can never get past Sri Lanka. It's a weird thing, like whether it's mental, I don't know. So maybe Sri Lanka takes in kind of a mental edge during this tournament as well, because Bangladesh, for whatever reason, seem to panic. It's a funny thing. And especially I think it's relevant for under-19 cricket, because these players don't have a lot of experience, right? And put them in a tough situation, you can make things happen, particularly if you have a good bowling lineup that can kind of squeeze. You can really, you know, make things happen.
I think the Sri Lankan men's I've got a positive theory that the reason for that is a lot of them, not all of them, but quite a number of them, normally the core for every side, are used to schools big matches, right? And now in Sri Lanka, even the non-traditional schools, it's not just the big Colombo schools that have big matches, it's quite a lot of schools end up having big matches. And I think that creates temperament to create big, you know, cricketers for the big occasion. I'm not sure the girls might necessarily have that experience, because there isn't a huge amount of leather ball cricket played or available for young girls to play on the island. So they might not have that big match experience. But what I do know is Sri Lankan women are resilient, probably more resilient than the men. And too often in Sri Lanka are the ones left to get the job done. So maybe that kind of spirit might come through over here. Estelle, should we take a quick break and then come back with our predictions for the tournament?
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI, we've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
We are adding new shows the whole time on 99.94, and do follow and subscribe and download the app and all that stuff as well. Estelle, let's talk about predictions for the tournament. I'm assuming generally from the Sri Lanka women's side, they tend to win low scoring encounters, and we're much better bowling side than we are a batting side, and we're not really great at chasing down big scores. Is that kind of what you're expecting from this side as well, even though it's a younger batch?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the performances we've seen so far from them, it seems like they almost mirror the senior team. Lots of lower scores, but the spinners seem to kind of, I don't know, always come to the party. Just looking at even the warm-ups, I think Vihanga and Pereira picked up like 13 wickets of the 20 that were taken. And I don't know whether, because like we mentioned, the games are played in schools grounds, right? Whether the pitchers aren't as, you know, characteristically South African with the bounce and, you know, fast bowlers having a bit of an advantage. So that might be a factor, but they seem to kind of always find a way to really kind of choke teams up. And that's what those two have managed to do so far. I'm sure there are other spinners also in that lineup that can kind of roll their arm over and, you know, bowl economically. And like I said, that pressure is a bigger deal here than it is, I think, in the senior game, because no one has played a lot of cricket. So it's going to be tough if you do kind of manage to bowl some economical overs and put the other team under pressure. In terms of batting, I think, again, Vishmi is going to be, or it looks like Vishmi is the Chamari Attapattu of the side. Everyone's looking to her to get some runs. Interesting that she's been pushed down to number three. So I would think she's expected to bat through. I don't know if we will see too many scores above 120, 130 from Sri Lanka. I think 100, 110 seems like where they will end up, because the strike rate is, again, an issue with them just getting bogged down. The top three seem to be kind of attacking. Nethmi Senaratne made a 50 in the first warm-up game. Nisan Salah, the wicketkeeper, also has shown that she's an attacking batter, particularly in that series against that quadrangular against India. So they may have the kind of intent sometimes, but they just do seem also to get bogged down and kind of look at totals that aren't really big totals in you know, generic T20 cricket, right? So I wouldn't expect too many scores above 120. But if Sri Lanka do get to 120, I think, I mean, batting first, I think they're going to be a very tough team to beat, just because they've kind of built around that, or they have that reputation of choking teams when it comes to chasers.
What is a good tournament for Sri Lanka? Is it just getting to the Super Sixes, or should we expect a bit more than that from them?
I think getting to the Super Sixes is the realistic goal, right? It's tough to imagine them going all the way. Because like I said, just looking at the systems in place or structures in place, it's tough to see, not just Sri Lanka, but even there are, you know, West Indies, teams like that really going all the way. So Super Six is a realistic goal. I think if they get to Super Six and are able to, they will face three teams from Group D, which includes India, South Africa, USA and Scotland, if I'm not mistaken. Not USA, Scotland and somebody else. So if they do get to the Super Six stage, they would I think they'd be happy with two wins. So in total, if they can get 3 to 4 wins in the tournament, I think they'll be happy with that.
Estelle, let's leave it there. We'll obviously be checking in with the team and seeing how they do them. And, you know, we wish them all the luck in the world. And obviously would love to see them go as far as possible. But almost more than that, I kind of hope they just all enjoy the experience. It's a great experience. And they all come back better cricketers and better women from it, right? Because they're all still young. And absolutely anything can happen in their lives from this point in. I just hope they all enjoy the experience. And it's great.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast, and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.